Once upon a time in Australia, back in the 1970s, Keith Lamb was a rock star, fronting the band Hush, very well known. The life of a star was heady, performing to packed concert halls, standing ovations, screaming fans, baying autograph hunters. But when Hush disbanded, as even the best bands do, and life returned to normal, Keith was at a loss. So accustomed to fans and the media pursuing him and to communicating through interviews and sound bites, he no longer knew how to hold a regular conversation. Gone was his ability to chit-chat, to strike up friendly banter, to connect with other people. He was tongue-tied. Luckily for Keith, he had Louise, a business partner, former psychiatric nurse. Together they came up with The Art of Conversation, an innovative card game designed to get people talking. 20-odd years on, The Art of Conversation has been a sellout success in Australia. It's being used by therapists and teachers and marriage counsellors, even sports teams. It's going around the world. It's been picked up in the US. Now Louise is telling me a children's version's been launched and a new edition has just arrived on our shores, as has Louise Howland, who joins us in the studio now. Hello, Louise.
Hello, Jim.
Nice to be having a conversation with you.
Lovely to be talking and listening to you, an important part of a conversation.
So for many people, this will be brand new, won't it? I hadn't heard of it.
Yes, yeah. It's just being launched in New Zealand now.
So. Oh, okay, so we haven't heard of it before. Mm-hmm. So where can you get hold of it? What sort of way are you launching it?
Well,
where are you selling it?
Well, we're talking to people about it, which is the way that we tend to do things. And I believe through good bookstores, that's probably the best place. There is a website that you can go to, which is just teok.com.au, and then we'll send you to your nearest bookstore that has it. But it's really a book buyer's product, you know. It's a game, it's a toy, it's a resource, but it belongs in the bookstores, I think.
Teok being The Art of Conversation, mm-hmm. Yes. I mean, we're connected with each other 24/7 now, email and texting and tweeting. And people will say, why do we need a game that teaches us how to talk to one another?
Because I don't think that the email and the texting is really talk. It's not really communication and conversation with more than one sense, is it? You don't have to listen, for starters. It's very quick. And often the messages are actually about scheduling or work. They're not about the things that really matter.
Yes. In fact, in the New York Times recently, parents who used mobile phones or BlackBerries obsessively while at home could retard their children's language development. It is so important to talk, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And we've also mentioned on Afternoons before, and I'm sure you've discussed this in other interviews you've done, there are fewer opportunities today to actually socially interact within a family. We don't have the
dinner table, for starters, is gone in so many homes. And that used to be the place at the end of the day where everyone got together and spoke and aired their views, and it doesn't happen. And that the piece about New York's really interesting, because that was our impetus for launching the children's one, because they're saying children are starting school with less vocabulary, poor grasp of grammar, and they put this down to less time in conversation with adults, which is very sad.
I'm curious about how the two of you developed The Art of Conversation. I mean, what was the actual germ of the idea that led to this product?
Well, it was Keith's idea. He's the ideas man. And he walked in one day and he said, it's called Teok. It's The Art of Conversation. It's a game that's going to help me talk to real people again. Now you do the rest, was exactly how we put it. And as with many of Keith's ideas, I took it home, I pondered on it for a week, and then we started. And it was in the era of Trivial Pursuit. So during the 80s, when that was the game that if you were playing a game, that was the game people were playing. And I always had a bit of trouble with that, not knowing many of the answers. And we kind of copied Trivial Pursuit. We said, we want something that's like Trivial Pursuit, but you already do know all the answers because it's all about you.
It's a very simple concept, isn't it?
It is. It's very simple. And really, a lot of people say, well, it's sad we need this. We should be able to do it without a game. And possibly we can. But I think when people are unaccustomed to talking in their family or with new acquaintances or friends, then it's nice to put it as a game, because it gives a little bit of structure, a bit of a reason, and makes it a little bit easier than just starting from scratch.
You can play it as a game. I mean, let's actually talk about it. It comes in a little, as you'd expect, little cardboard box, and it's sets of cards. Mm. There are cards on either side of the box. And you pull out a card, and it starts asking you questions. In which room of your home do you most enjoy spending time? Actually, you and I could answer these questions. What's it for you?
Well, we could. And I think with me, and this sounds really, really lazy, but with me it's just got to be my bedroom because I've got my books and my bed and the cat and, you know, sometimes my daughter, sometimes even my husband. And it's a beautiful room with a beautiful view. And I'm, you know, and I've had the same bed since I was 12.
Have you?
Yeah. And I'll probably die in it with a bit of luck at some stage.
Was that a single or three-quarter?
It's a double bed.
It's a double bed and you've had one since you were 12.
Mm. It's a suite.
I'm interrupting you. You shouldn't do that in the conversation.
Well, you may. And we're doing it in that sort of setting where you absolutely can. It's nice to ask a follow-up question. And then when my little story's over, which it basically is, then I'd want to know about your favourite room. And
I imagine it's the little study that I've got because men like caves.
Yes.
Don't they? And retreating into them.
Yes.
But I also was talking on the radio the other day about how apparently the absolute best place for most people they can spend their time is on a window seat.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so they have the choice of either looking into the room, but with the reassurance of the view, or the reassurance of the room and also the opportunity of the view outside.
Yes.
So, okay, so that's a good conversation starter. So you would play the game simply by getting people to talk in the way we've just done. Mm.
That's one way. There are 9 variations, and often, particularly with men, they say, well, how can I win? You know, I want it to be a competition. And this has been patented as a game, so it is perceived as a game, and you can win. Because if we knew each other very well, we could play that I know your answers, and so you could give me points. So there are scoring options there. There's even a solo version, because if you answered all these questions, you'd have a pretty amazing basis for a personal journal. Or if you're going out to a party like I used to when I was extremely shy and I would hate going out to a social occasion in case someone actually spoke to me and I'd have to answer them. It's nice to have a few little ideas up your sleeve about what you might talk about as opposed to the weather or politics.
So you could whip out a card from The Art of Conversation and say, shall I talk about a piece of furniture that holds a special meaning for me?
I mean, I think without sounding too stilted, it gives you a few ideas. I wouldn't really whip out a card, although there's a famous chef in Melbourne who has got a pack, and he said when he sees a dinner party at his restaurant that is not going well, he drops a card or two onto the table because it's about the whole experience, you know.
That's a great idea. What is your earliest memory? That's another one of your questions. This is just the first card I picked up at the top of the whole pack of cards. What is your earliest memory, that's right. What is your earliest
memory? Crying in my cot and being so manipulative, I stuck my arm out and threw the bars of the cot and just screamed till someone came and picked me up. I can remember doing that.
How old were you?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, too young to speak. So young, you know. I don't know. What's that, 14 months or little? I can remember doing it because I heard visitors arrive and I thought I wanted to know who's there and I stuck my arm out and shrieked.
So that's Louise Harlan's first memory.
Yeah, yours?
I don't go back that far. I actually do have one. It was when I was 3 years old in Kaikoura, and I stole, this is the only time I ever stole anything in my life. I stole a pot plant at three from, it was a swan, because I loved the shape of it. The lady next door had a pot plant in the shape of a swan, and I stole it and pretended I'd found it at the bottom of our garden, and my mother caught me and made me take it back. That is my earliest memory.
3-year-olds are inveterate liars, but it doesn't usually go. Isn't that amazing?
So this is The Art of Conversation.
So we know more about each other than, you know, those awful corporate team building things you go to where they say, stand up and say a bit about yourself and you say, well, I'm married or I'm not married and I've got this many children and I live here and you know nothing. But I'll remember those responses that you've given me.
Yeah, you know, I'll remember that you've had the same bed since you were 12 years old.
Yeah.
And it was a double.
Yeah.
And it's a double.
Yeah. So for me, it's just about communication on a different level than what we usually talk about. And we carefully left out politics and sex and religion, but there's room to bring that in should you want to.
The Art of Conversation, and it's just a little pack of cards, basically. So did it take you long to kind of while or whittle down the delivery mechanism? Did you go through, because it's been 20 years in development.
It was ridiculously long development because we focused on it. We got together a very patient and a diverse group of 36 people, all sorts, vet, accountant, pizza parlour owner, stay-at-home dad, and we just tested and trialled thousands of questions to see and thousands of guidelines and rules. And it was very complicated for a while there. And then we whittled it down to something simple. And we left out any questions that just didn't work. So some of these questions sound a bit out of left field. Looking at your beautiful cup there that you have on the desk. It's obviously very treasured and very special, and, you know, I'm interested to know about that cup. The questions actually all do work. They lead to good stories because we've tested it with all sorts of people. And in the end, we just simplified it, and simple's best usually.
Are you referring to my lucky cup without the handle on it?
Yeah, it's a stunner, and I bet it's special and there's a history.
I know it's a ghastly looking cup, but the history of it is that I've had it since I began this program. It was the cup I brought in because you couldn't always find a cup to have coffee in. Yeah. So I brought in a cup from home. And just because the handle broke, was no reason when you're slightly superstitious like I am. Not to continue using the cup.
And you'd be devastated if anything happened to that cup, wouldn't you?
I think I would. Well, I thought about that. I think I'd probably, if some malicious person stole that cup, I think I'd probably recover from the shock.
You could possibly auction it off for quite a sum of money for a charity, Jim.
You've just reminded me that people must come in and look at that cup and think,
Well, I can see it doesn't even need washing. That's great.
Thank you, Louise. So the reaction, you must have had a lot of reaction from all over the place to the Art of Conversation. How do people mostly use it? What are the main uses and you know, what have people said it's really good for?
It's gone into some very funny places. I mean, I've had a mother ring me up and say, thank you so much. She said, I've got four boys and my husband, the dinner table conversation has been nothing but sport for 10 years and now we can range a little further afield. It's being used in marriage guidance, dating agencies. There is a dating agency in America, can you believe this, that has 16 million members. Can you believe that?
16 million?
Members of this one dating agency.
Do they all get to meet each other?
Online, I suppose. I have no idea what happens, but they are using it as a giveaway with their free membership. It's gone into prisons, psychiatric hospitals, drug and alcohol rehab, some amazing places where we never really thought it would venture, and the corporate world as well. We've had rugby teams, we've had banks using it, sales people, because to sell something you really need to understand what the other person wants. So
this is a good one for a prisoner. Tell us a decision you made that has had a major effect on your life.
Oops.
So you come up with the questions, but you workshop them. You get feedback on them.
Very much.
And how many are there? How many questions are
there?
There
are 300 in the pack, and on each card are three questions. And the third question, there's nothing nosy, there's nothing to make anyone uncomfortable, but the third question is perhaps a little more revealing, like that one that you just asked, I would assume is a number three question.
Oh, I see, right.
But there's nothing in there that children can't see. And I'll tell you where my favourite place where it works is cross-generational. Because I'm really glad I played this with my grandparents before they passed away. Because there were things, we make all these assumptions in our conversations that we actually do know our family or our friends quite well. Whereas in reality, there's so much about them we don't know. And the quiet people are always quiet. And the noisy people are always noisy. And the quiet people actually have a lot to say if you take the time to give them a bit of airtime. So with my grandparents, I found out things that I didn't know about their lives that I'm so thrilled that I do know. And I'm really pleased that amongst my quieter friends and members of my family that I know things from them too, because we have really tried to achieve balanced conversations.
And of course, you alluded to it earlier, the other half of a conversation is the listening.
Yes.
So it's one of the rules of the game as it's played, as you envisage it being played, that you let the person talk and you don't jump in. And you don't correct them. And you don't add your own experience to theirs.
No, that's right. You don't ride on the tail end of theirs. You don't cut in to try and one-up them, you know, even if that's done in a nice way, which normally it is. We've set out the guidelines perhaps more closely, more precisely in the children's edition, because we believe that children should be taught social skills in the same way they're taught other subjects. And this is proving an effective anti-bullying tool, because if there are genuine bonds between children at all levels throughout a school and there are strong friendships that are based on some sort of real connection, well, then bullying is not going to occur to the same degree that it is.
I can see why it would be useful for that, indeed. Mm. And you also imagine that, I mean, it wouldn't be a bad idea to sit down and put one of the cards on each person's table setting around dinner.
Yes.
And that's the dinner conversation for the night.
Yes. And one card can last the whole night. But what I like to say about listening is, because I realise I didn't actually listen and answer the question properly, It's more than being quiet while the other person's talking. And it's more than sitting there thinking up the next line that you're going to say or thinking up a smart rebuttal to their point of view. It's a lot more than that. It's actually putting yourself into that person's shoes, imagining how it felt, whatever they're experiencing, or really thinking about what they're doing. And I'm not good at that. And I really try to be quiet and listen more. And I think with our children, that works really well too, as well as our partners.
Typical questions are, who taught you to drive? Were you happy with the approach? Can you remember the first song you learned? What would you do if you were sure to get away with it?
I love that question.
Ah.
That's the closest we've come to one that we asked, which was, what's the most illegal thing you've ever done? And no one wants to answer that.
No.
So we kind of rephrased.
Gee, I'd be struggling to. In fact, I'll just glibly avoid that one. Who was your worst imaginable marriage partner? A lot of people, I understand, have named Tom Cruise. Is this
they
correct?
They have. A lot of women say Tom Cruise. It's funny, isn't it?
Why is that?
I think there's a bit of a perception of him as perhaps something of a control freak. But I don't know. It's surprising how many people say that. It's a funny question. It's a light question. I mean, I make the game sound as though it's very serious, but in reality, most of the games I've played have ended up with a lot of laughter.
Yeah. We don't know about Tom Cruise's life at all, do we?
We don't know a thing about
Tom. We only know through the tabloids. And Katie Holmes goes out for a walk, and the paparazzi say, oh, she's lonely. And then the next week she goes out for a walk and they say, oh, she's happy and getting exercise.
I know. It's really irritating. And I must admit, with this game and the children's part of the thing is a bit of anti-celebrity, because I'm just over it, and I think we really need to be more interested in our friends, our neighbours, in people that we're likely to meet. I mean, Paris Hilton doesn't care what you're doing. We're so interested in her. She's not interested in us. She'll probably never meet any of us. She's never going to help us out or listen to us when we've got a problem. So why are we so interested? Why don't we talk to the real people around us? I don't understand that.
I'm sure if she had the chance to meet us, she'd be deeply interested. Louise Howland is with us. The Art of Conversation. Do you have any personal favourites from among the 300 questions that you have so shrewdly prepared and researched? Do you have any personal favourites, or is it too hard?
Strangely enough, I really like that driving question, but I like someone to tell me, if I don't know them, how they would like to be spoiled for a day. What would be a beautiful day for them of being spoiled? And that gives you quite an insight into the person. So that's a favourite.
The complete freedom to lie in would be a good start for me.
Mm.
Absolutely no reason to actually have to get up. That'd be the start of the perfect day.
Yeah, and possibly the end of it too.
Yeah. I wouldn't stay in bed all day, Louise.
No.
I'd get up and do a few things. But
yeah. Not back.
As long as I knew I didn't have to. All right, so there are no specific do's and don'ts with how to play the game, although you've given us some pointers. You can play it as a competition if you want. If it's a bunch of blokes sitting around.
Yes, they can score.
They can score it.
Yeah.
All right.
Funniest answer. You can even turn it into a sort of faking your answer game if you want to. People seem to find their own way with it once they've got the questions.
So the children's edition of The Art of Conversation, what is different about that? Because presumably children could answer a lot of these questions.
They could. This one's quite sort of family friendly. There's nothing in there that's going to give anyone a shock. But some of them in this game the children couldn't answer, like, for example, the driving question.
Yes.
The children's edition, there are only two questions on each card. We've tested it with children rather than testing it with adults. We've tested it with children. We've said 4 to 15, but it's a fun game. There are some funny ones in that, like a funny face that you can pull or noises that you can make with your body. There are a few kind of slightly more active things as well. But if you were the leader of your country, what would you do? Is it more important to be famous, wealthy or healthy? The answers, when does a person become old? This got some extraordinary answers, because it would be as simple as when they get wrinkles. To one little girl who was 9, said something about when people stop making new plans for their life and live the same life. And I just thought that was
quite profound, really.
Very profound. And I think it's the same with our children. We assume that we know what they know. We assume we know what they don't know. But sometimes we've got that completely wrong, because they actually know a lot of things that we don't know they know. And I also think seeing I'm in New Zealand, I can probably say this. I love my mum and dad, and they were both teachers, and they knew everything. So whatever our opinion was, it was generally corrected at the dinner table. Whereas I thought about my own family, and I thought I want our children to have the freedom to express whatever they want to express at the table and have it listened to, and to be able to air their ideas in a very safe and a nurturing environment, and put their ideas up to the light there rather than, you know, with other kids in the schoolyard. And when you listen to children respectfully, then they listen back to you because you have your turn. And sometimes with teenagers, you see this sort of wave of recognition, and they go, you know what, Dad was actually once a person, you know, and they realise that we're all valid. So,
what if you played the art of conversation, even if it was just your own version, around the dinner table, you would have discovered many years earlier, because you would have drawn things out of Dad that he wouldn't otherwise have volunteered.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, brilliant, simple idea. The art of conversation, Louise Howland. What is the nicest thing that anyone has ever said to you about it? Do you know? Can you think?
We have had people say that it has saved their marriage. We have had people say that they believe it stopped a 16-year-old boy leaving home because their relations were becoming so fractured that they were just at loggerheads. So as a primary prevention tool in that, you know, that is really amazing to hear. But yeah, we've had a number of people say that it saved their marriage. And I tested it on my own husband, because he's the strong, silent type, and we'd go out for dinner and he wouldn't talk and I would just be quite bored. So I would act as though I didn't know him and ask him.
And was he a willing participant, or was
he? He didn't know, Jim. He didn't know I was doing it.
He didn't know you were doing it. You're a smart woman. Because
no.
I imagine that some men would resist this concept, wouldn't they? Say, what's this? Oh, we don't need cards to talk.
Yes, they do. So you just have to sort of slide them in and start. And they're not sappy questions. I think you'll agree. There's nothing sort of over gushy or girly. They're just quite. And in fact, a lot of them give men a chance to, talk about the tallest building they've been up or the longest they've driven. I mean, that's always quite interesting, the longest time they've ever had to wait for somebody.
When did you last lose your temper, and was it worth it? Ever been caught out in extreme weather? Do tell. You have cravings for what? That's intriguing questions. And good luck with it. And lovely of you to come in today and have such a good conversation with us.
Thanks very much, Jim.
Louise Howland, The Art of Conversation, just being launched in New Zealand.